They said, celebrate the season. That's what Christians ought to do, shouldn't we? Celebrate it. And we have a reason to do that. And they said, the reason we ought to celebrate it is because of the great gift that God has given. Celebrate the season because of the gift that God has given. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 18, verse 28. Psalm 18 and verse 28. The scripture says in that verse, for thou wilt light my candle. They kept lighting candles up here tonight. And each one of those represented something. The birth of Christ, the angels, the shepherds, the star, the majesty, all of those played a part in it. The psalmist said, for thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will light my darkness. The Lord will enlighten my darkness. In Isaiah chapter 9 in verse 6, here's how he did it. He said in that verse, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Unto us a child is born. That's how the light was given. And the psalmist said, God's going to give a light. It's going to dispel darkness. Darkness is a type of sin, and darkness is a type of judgment. But Jesus is God's greatest gift to us, and that's why we celebrate the season. By the way, God only gives the very best gifts. I've received a few in my lifetime. Well, not the very best gifts. I've received some I certainly didn't deserve. But I can tell you this, God gives the very very best gifts. And at Christmas, we turn our thoughts to not only receiving, but also our thoughts are turned toward giving. We receive some gifts, we give some gifts. And giving is a giving is a good virtue. It's a wonderful virtue that God allows us to give. But who gave the greatest and the first real Christmas gift? It was God. The greatest gift and the first Christmas gift was given by God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the what? Gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What kind of gift was this? Well, it was an unsolicited gift. Now, during Christmas, a lot of times people let you know what they want. How many of you have grandkids? Yeah, they don't mind sort of letting you know what they want. They solicit a few gifts from us, and children do the same thing. But this gift of eternal life was an unsolicited gift. It was not man, not we who ever had to ask him. God, seeing the need, because of that, he sent his son. And he asked the question, doesn't he? Even in the garden, he said, where are you? Good question. And he had to answer that question. And it was very pleasant to answer that question. But this is not an afterthought with God. This gift of eternal life that God, in his own will, in his own love, in his own nature, in his own mercy, has given to us. The Bible reminds us that Jesus Christ was not an afterthought. The scripture tells us in Revelation that he was the lamb slain when? Before the foundation of the earth. This was God looking, knowing before all place in God's great sovereign mind what was going to happen in providing the gift of eternal life. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Revelation 13:8. The Bible says also, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. God took the initiative. It's an unsolicited gift. And God says, here, you want this? I want to give this to you. You're a sinner and you need this gift of eternal life. Thank God it was an unlimited gift. An unlimited gift. Now we have some advertisers that advertise some very expensive things. They have some real expensive things. But a lot of people cannot afford those things, can they? I don't do much shopping at Neiman Markups. I don't think my wife does. If she does, she doesn't tell me about it. No, I'm quite sure that she doesn't, because she knows we cannot afford to shop at places like that, because they cater to the rich, to the wealthy. And there's some people who don't think anything about going and paying $2,000 or $3,000 for an item, but that's probably not most of us. And this gift that God has given is an unlimited gift. In fact, you know, if we're in the middle income bracket, a lot of us get things and we can afford things that the poor people cannot. Some people who are very, very poor, especially in other parts of the country, but even here in our own country, they couldn't begin to get what you and I get and what we're able to give. But God's gift is not like that. 1 John 2:2, He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. It is a gift for everybody. It's a gift that He paid for. It's a gift that you don't have to pay for. It is a gift that is an unlimited gift. I don't like this idea that people come up with of a limited atonement. It is an unlimited. And it is for everybody. It's for whosoever will. And God gave His Son to die on the cross that all could be saved. It is an unlimited gift, and I'm glad. I think of that old song, "Whosoever will, whosoever heareth, shout, shout the sound. Spread the blessed tidings all the world around. Tell the joyful news wherever man is found, whosoever will may come." I've heard that ever since I was knee-high to a toad frog. Years and years, little boy. Whosoever will. I don't ever want to get that out of my singing and the songs that I want to sing. I want to sing "Whosoever Will," because I believe that's what the Bible says. And it's also an unspeakable gift. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift." What does that mean? You can't talk about it? No. He's saying that there's absolutely no way that we can describe it properly. It is inexpressible. Paul said, "I cannot express to you this unspeakable gift that God has given me, that He's forgiven me of my sins and written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be kept out of the Lamb's Book of Life." Charles Wesley wrote some words, and maybe he was thinking about this, the unspeakable gift of God, when he wrote them. "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread throughout all the earth abroad, the honor of Thy name." What a wonderful gift. What an unspeakable gift. A gift that God has given us because of His mercy through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and a gift that we do not deserve. It's also an unchanging gift. It's an unchanging gift. I'm glad that it's an unchanging gift. Listen to what the writer of the Hebrews said in 13:8. "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and how long? And forever." Jesus is immutable. He is unchangeable. He does not change. You cannot improve. You cannot make Him more perfect. The Lord Jesus Christ is the same today as He was yesterday. And He does not change. A gift that doesn't change. A lot of our gifts, I've got some gifts that are obsolete. I don't even know what to do with them. Some of them I stick in a drawer and hope they'll be antiques someday and I can get some money out of them and give to missions. Brother Bullant. And I don't know what to do with them. They're antiquated. By the time I learn how to work my cell phone, it's an antique. How many of you can relate to that? You know what I'm talking about. Things change. But God does not change. And we can enjoy the same salvation that they enjoyed 2,000 years ago. We can enjoy the same salvation Spurgeon enjoyed, and Moody enjoyed, and Whitfield, and all the rest. We can enjoy the very same salvation, and you can be saved tonight just like anybody in the past has ever been saved because of God's mercy and God's gift. It's an unchanging gift, and I'm glad that we can enjoy that gift. The songwriter said, "Yesterday, today, forever. Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Well, we'd all agree, and I briefly mentioned it, it's an undeserved gift. It is an undeserved gift. If you could purchase it yourself, and you had to pay for it yourself, it wouldn't be a gift. Suppose I came up to one of you with a big box, and I said, "Man, I got a gift for you. And this is a very expensive gift. As a matter of fact, if you'll give me $500, I'll give you this very expensive gift." And you might look at me and say, "Hey, wait a minute. I didn't bargain for this kind of gift. That's no gift. What do you mean? I thought you had a gift for me. You want to charge me for the gift?" Thank God, God doesn't charge us for the gift. You cannot earn the gift of eternal life. If you're here tonight and you think that you can earn the gift of eternal life, you cannot. That is an oxymoron. It wouldn't be a gift if you could purchase it, earn it, buy it, and do whatever you had to do in order to get that gift. No, it's an undeserved gift. Somebody has spelled it like this with an acrostic: God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. And that's exactly what it is. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but thank God now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It's amazing grace, unmerited favor from Almighty God. Quit trying to earn it. You can't earn it. Now, after we get it, we ought to live it out. And James reminds us that we should live out our salvation. If it's in there, it's got to come out. And works are important. For those who are believers, we should have good works. And the Bible is very clear about that. We should be saturated with them. But you'll never get to heaven because of your good works. You first have the new birth. Then you have the new nature. And then you want to do good works. And you want to changes because you're born again, because you're saved, you know the Lord. It's an undeserved gift. Earned? No, it's a gift. God paid for it through His Son. God's riches at Christ's expense. And boy, did He ever pay for it. His life, His suffering, and His suffering on the cross, all of the things that Christ went through, God's grace, God's gift to us at Christ's expense. Here's a sad thing. You read sometimes in the paper, they'll make an announcement or something. They say there's a lot of money out there. Nobody's claimed it. I've thought about sending my name in 2 or 3 times. I got one of those things one time. Said, you have some money that's available to you, and all you got to do is contact us. I just thought, that's too good to be true. It's probably some kind of gimmick, some kind of deal. And I wasn't about to call them or anything like that. It's probably too good to be true. But there are a lot of people, unfortunately, who have not claimed this gift of eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. You don't have to die and go to hell. Should not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. It's there, it's available, and it's the real deal. No gimmicks with this. No fooling with this. God doesn't lie. God doesn't play games. God has said, if you'll realize you're a sinner and come to Christ and ask Him to save you, He will come into your heart and give you the gift of everlasting eternal life. That's the promise of God. And yet some people hadn't claimed this gift. I hope we'll try to give it out and take it to others and let them know it's there. That's our responsibility. If they don't claim it, if they don't take it, not my fault, not your fault. But we need to give it to them and tell them about the greatest gift ever given, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Let's stand, please. Do you tonight as a believer feel like Charles Wesley, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise"? How we ought to be thankful for the gift of eternal life. The greatest gift ever given was given by God. The first, the gift of eternal life. How we ought to be thankful for it and live as we're to show God that we're thankful for that gift. If you haven't received that gift, why don't you do it tonight? May God help you to receive Christ. I know it's a different kind of service, and you may not be used to our church or whatever, but the important thing is that you do not die without Christ, that you accept Him as your Savior. And we lovingly invite you to do that tonight as God would lead you. Father, we thank You for the program the young people presented and each one of those candles and all of the different things that entered into the surroundings of the birth of Jesus Christ. We know had He not ever been born, there would not be a Redeemer. There would not be a Savior. There would not be the Royal One that we should bow down to. We thank You tonight that we have Him and we have the gift if we have received Christ as our Savior. There could be somebody here, Lord, only You know the hearts. There may be some boy or girl, some man or woman here tonight who's never been saved. I pray they would be saved tonight. Before they leave, that they would come to Christ and accept this greatest gift that You make available to them. And to those of us who have received the gift, oh God, may our hearts ever express our appreciation for that gift. And may our lives ever prove, day by day, year after year, till we are in Your presence, that we love You and that we owe You everything because of the gift of eternal life through Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.